Right, thank you. Can you hear me in the back? Let me know if I get too far away from the microphone. I might move a little bit, but I'm Angela Abling. I'm an assistant professor at Wisconsin Lutheran College in the greater Milwaukee area. So unlike a lot of the previous speakers who have access to lots of field studies, I am going to be talking about a greenhouse study. The work that I did myself and an undergraduate student was trying to get at some of the differences that biosolids might have as far as treatment methods, because remove phosphorus from the wastewater, they accumulate in the biosolids, but if you use the biosolids as a manure to supply the nutrients, then are there differences between these phosphorus removal methods as far as wheat uptake of the phosphorus? So to start with, I just want to kind of remind people that all the effects of our environmental work in phosphorus have implications not just for the growers, so people dealing with phosphorus applications and phosphorus sources, but also for the consumers who now, as a result of some of the things we found out about the about excess phosphorus in lakes and streams, now have to deal with less phosphorus or no phosphorus in their detergents and their fertilizers. Basically just showing that we do need continued work to support our regulations and also basically to support the farmers who have to deal with the phosphorus sources and to find some best management practices and find out exactly how much phosphorus is available from these different sources. So what I'm going to do today is give a little background about phosphorus and biosolids and then detail or explain our greenhouse study. And then the details of our results I'll pose as soil phosphorus spray P1 measurements, as well as total biomass produced by the plants that we grew, and then the phosphorus uptake from these plants as well. Just a little background, I think it's been covered previously, but just a reminder that phosphorus is a plant nutrient needed because plants have DNA, they have ATP. Phosphorus is a component in the molecular components of plants, so we need to make sure that there's enough phosphorus for the plants. However, we know the other side of the story is that when you have too much phosphorus, if you lose phosphorus from the soil, goes into lakes and streams, you're gonna have a eutrophication issue. So the nutrient management goal is make sure plants have enough phosphorus, right? So you don't have deficiencies in phosphorus, but you also wanna keep the phosphorus in the soil. So you wanna prevent the movement of phosphorus into the surface water. Earlier today, in this session, we heard a lot about phosphorus as a fertilizer. We had one talk about phosphorus, a phosphorus source from a manure. Today, I'm going to be talking about the source of phosphorus being biosolids. In other words, the solids from a wastewater treatment plant. So, you know, the water moves into a wastewater treatment plant. It has to be cleaned up of various parameters. It leaves theoretically clean and goes into a lake or stream. All of the everything that they filtered out, anything that's a solid, is accumulated in the biosolids. So if you're reducing the phosphorus content in the water, theoretically then, and presumably, you're increasing the phosphorus content in the biosolids. So I want to think about because I'm focusing on differences between biosolids, we need to think about what the treatment was to remove the phosphorus from the water. And I'm focusing on three chemical methods, so inorganic precipitation with either an iron or aluminum sulfate or calcium oxide, a lime. And then another method that's not a chemical treatment would be a biological method where your microbes are just using the phosphorus in their life cycle and you remove the microbial biomass from the water before it's released. So we have chemical treatments and we have this biological mechanism to remove phosphorus from the water. What I want to know is, does that affect what the plants can get at? But stepping back a little bit, there are different ways you can dispose of the biosolids. So landfilling is one method, but it costs a lot of money. You can also incinerate biosolids as a way of disposing of them. But besides costing money, obviously because of combustion, there's some air quality issues related to that. So land application is becoming more and more popular, not just because you're preventing the cost associated with the other methods, but also because it's a part of a recycling system. And especially as we heard with, you know, potentially phosphorus and potassium, the mining, the fertilizer sources might be decreasing. If we can reuse these nutrients, this would be a beneficial thing. Now, if you're gonna use biosolids as a form of fertilizer, though, there's a few things that a producer may want to know. And they're all related, at least the first two. So, if you're using it for a fertilizer, you want to know is the phosphorus in the biosolids available to the soil solution? That's number two there. If it's available to the soil solution, theoretically it's available to the plant. So we can measure phosphorus in the soil solution with a soil phosphorus test. But what I'm looking at is the phosphorus actually able, is the plant actually able to uptake the phosphorus that's in the soil solution? And then related to that nutrient management goal, you also want to know if the biosolids in the, if the phosphorus in the biosolids will be released to runoff or not. So there's kind of this threefold, these threefold questions that a farmer may want to know if they're going to use biosolids as a phosphorus source. So some previous research, I just want to highlight two studies, one that looked at a runoff phosphorus from various biosolids and one that looked at soil phosphorus. And this one by Elliott in 2005. Basically, these two graphs are two different runoff events, and what we have here is the control is in C in both of these graphs, and then all of these are either biosolids or manures, and on the far left, you have the LP and the LC are biologically treated biosolids, so remember it was a biological process that removed the phosphorus from the biosolids, or from the water. And then DM was dairy manure. And then you have DMA and DMF, which refer to whether the dairy manure was treated with aluminum or iron. So some chemical treatments to help reduce the phosphorus availability. And then you have biosolids that had either lime or high iron content used to remove the phosphorus from the water. And basically what you see is that in runoff, because this is measuring runoff phosphorus from these biosolids, you do see that the method that was used to remove the phosphorus in the biosolids does impact the amount of phosphorus running off. Okay, and typically the chemical treatments, the lime and iron in here, are reducing the levels in the phosphorus more than the biological treatments, biologically removed phosphorus. So that's runoff phosphorus. Another study that I did earlier was looking at soil phosphorus levels as related to manure, phosphorus fertilizer, and some biosolids. So I looked at lime, aluminum, iron, and biologically treated biosolids, as well as the manure and a potassium fertilizer. And this was part of a larger study, but these are two different soils, one that had no previous applications of a biosolid and one that had 15 previous applications of a biosolid. And basically what I want to point out here is these chemical treatments, the lime, iron, and aluminum, so the first three bars in each, did reduce the soil phosphorus content as measured by BRAPE-P1. And this is BRAPE-P1 change from the control, is what you have on the y-axis. So in some cases, more significant than others, but the general trend, both in runoff phosphorus and in soil phosphorus, is that chemical treatments do something different than the biological treatment, or as in manure kind of being a similar thing to a biologically treated biosolids. So we have some research that shows that runoff phosphorus is affected, soil phosphorus is affected, and that that is great, but the producer wants to know, well, if I'm going to use this as a phosphorus source, can my plant get at it? And that was what my study was looking at. So we had a twofold objectives, and basically we wanted to look at phosphorus availability to soil and to wheat from biosolids. So, I guess in some sense it was maybe threefold. So look at the soil phosphorus, look at the phosphorus concentration in the plant itself, and then use it at, look at it at two different soil pH levels, because we know that the soil phosphorus, or the soil pH level, has an effect on the availability of phosphorus in the soil. So as far as what the study was composed of, there was one soil, it was a plain old silt loam soil that actually was a similar soil to what I had used in the earlier, it was from the same field study that I had used in the in earlier research using biosolids. So plain old silt loam soil, we had four biosolid, or four treatment levels, four P sources. Three were biosolids and one was a fertilizer. And we did look at two rates besides the control, so 50 and 100 kilograms P per hectare. And then the two soil pH levels we used were 7.1 and approximately 6.1. And all this was done in replicates of three in a greenhouse. So looking more specifically at the soil and the phosphorus chemistry in it, this particular soil did not have any previous biosolids history, had pretty high total phosphorus. The BRAPE, that's the agronomic soil test phosphorus, used in Wisconsin was around 16, which is in the optimum or maybe slightly lower than optimum range. So we were still expecting to see a crop response to this. The water extractable P was 1.6, and the original soil pH was 7.1. So to get that 6.1, I had to add an amendment to reduce the soil phosphorus, or to reduce the pH level. The P sources that were used, two chemical treatments, lime and iron. So calcium oxide and iron sulfate were used at the wastewater treatment plant to reduce the phosphorus levels in the water, microorganisms, and then the phosphorus fertilizer. The greenhouse conditions, we grew winter wheat, used fertilizer, no phosphorus fertilizer, in order to make sure that the other nutrients were taken care of, watered approximately every other week, depending on the water level in the cups. And then since we're in a greenhouse, we were able to control the amount of light. So we kept the light on for 15 hours a day. And the average temperature was about 72 degrees Fahrenheit, so somewhat less than this goal of 25 degrees Celsius. We did 4 harvests over approximately 3 months and collected all the top mass, the biomass, the top growth. And then so we measured total dry matter yield, phosphorus concentration in the plant material, and then we did measure the final soil pH. So we took a sample of the soil from the cup and measured the soil pH. So I'm going to start with the results looking at the final Bray P1 soil, final Bray P1 of the soil. This is Bray P1 change. So on the x-axis is the change from the control. And what you see, even though everything was applied at the same total phosphorus rate, all the P sources, the fertilizer is still more available as measured by soil Bray P1. But the Bray P1 wasn't able to distinguish between the different biosolids. They were all measured approximately the same. Now, looking at total dry matter yield, what we see is that we couldn't see just a whole lot. But looking at pH 6, we see that basically the lime treatment did have a higher, these letters are averaged over the two rates. The lime treatment did have a higher total dry matter yield than the control. We were not able to distinguish between any of the biosolids. Looking at soil pH 7, what we saw here is that both the lime and the fertilizer did have a higher dry matter yield as compared to the control, but no separation between the biosolids. Now we're now finally looking at the actual phosphorus concentration in the plant. At soil pH 6, there was nothing, even from the control, which was very surprising. But at soil pH 7, these effects the similar effects as dry matter yield. So phosphorus uptake is dry matter yield times the phosphorus concentration in the extract. And so we saw both the lime and the phosphorus fertilizer did increase, did have higher total phosphorus uptake as compared to the control. But couldn't distinguish between the biosolid sources. So what does this all mean? So looking back at our objectives, we did see, first, phosphorus availability to the soil. Biosolids does supply phosphorus to the soil. That's a good thing. Farmers want to know that. However, as far as availability to wheat, we weren't really able to see differences between the biosolids. Now, looking at the soil phosphorus availability by soil pH, some differences at pH 7, but there's no differences at pH 6. So what are some of the reasons for why I think these things are happening? Well, the starting soil phosphorus rate P1 was 16 parts per million. Should be still in the responsive range, but as we heard in an earlier talk today, maybe that's too high. Maybe that just wasn't responsive enough. So we're looking at using an even lower soil phosphorus starting level in the single-digit parts per million phosphorus to see if we can get a response and maybe be able to delineate between these biosolids treatments that way. But the other thing is, maybe it's just available. Maybe this data is just simply saying that the phosphorus in the biosolids is available to the plant, and that would be good as far as the farmer is concerned as well. The other thing I want to note is that, mental note for next time, the compound I used to lower the soil phosphorus pH to a lower pH level, which is a commonly used compound, aluminum sulfate. What do you use to take aluminum out of the water? One thing is aluminum sulfate. So that's probably why we saw this absolutely no difference at soil pH 6. This extra aluminum potentially just bound up the phosphorus, any phosphorus that was in the biosolids, any extra, and so we weren't able to tell differences. So next time, to look into the future, hoping to redo this over again, looking at different biosolids and different methods, but also use a different soil, using that lower single-digit phosphorus soil, which is hard to find in Wisconsin, but thanks to Dick Wilkowski at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, I have found a source of that, so I'm going to try that, and then use a different method to, if I have to lower the Bray pH, use something different. The other thing that we're starting to look at is not just biosolids as a source of phosphorus, but septage. You know, so if you have individual homeowners that have septic tanks, that also can be land applied and used as a nutrient source. So we'd look to look into the phosphorus availability of those things. Thank you for your attention. And if you have any questions, I don't know if you have
time for one question.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.